And we welcome you to our Elder Affairs Service, the first Friday of the month. Up first, AARP Rhode Island and State Director Catherine Taylor joins us on the line. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you today?
Good. Always good to have you with us and lots to talk about as always.
Sure is.
We have, there were some good news from the legislature on a topic that is very, very important to AARP Rhode Island, and that's the ADUs.
That's correct. Yesterday, the House Committee on Municipal Government passed the ADU bill out of committee, so that is headed to the House floor, and we're hoping to see a bill introduced very soon in the Senate. And we were with you last month talking about our event that we had last week, our ADU design competition, which was super successful. We're so grateful for everybody who turned out. We were packed in the State House Library, standing room only, just great coverage. People can go to our website, aarp.org/RI, and see all the photos of the great designs that RISD students did if they're interested. So thank you again for that conversation last week.
I believe that, and I hope it helped. I think that some of us would like to see them referred to as accessory dwelling units or ADUs, but they seem to be referred to as granny flats. But
not by us.
Exactly. So, but if you see that terminology or if you hear that talked about, that's what they're talking about. So get by that name, and we'll all be on the same page. But a great initiative so far.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was a great partnership, great collaboration with RISD, and we look forward to more. So today's topic is a very different one. You know, we spent a lot of time talking with you and to your listeners last year about the special election for the 1st Congressional District, and now the 1st Congressional District has a new congressperson, but we're now going right into another election cycle, and we want to make sure that everybody knows how, where, and when to vote in the upcoming presidential preference primary, as well as the regular primaries for our federal offices and maybe some local ones too, and the general election in November. So for our part, AARP Rhode Island has launched its 2024 Voter Resources Guide, and you can find that at aarp.org/RIVotes. But I'm also really excited to welcome a guest today on the radio show, wonderful colleague Rob Rock, who is the Deputy Director of the Office of the Rhode Island Secretary of State, who is going to come on and tell us all the key dates and things we need to know about how and where and when to vote in a number of elections coming up really shortly. So thank you, Rob, for joining us today.
Good morning, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
Always. And I always love being on a radio or a radio show or a teletown hall or a webinar with you, because so far in my experience, there has not been one question that anybody's ever asked you about elections that has stumped you. You have the answers to everything. So that's why you're a go-to guy.
Well, thanks for putting the pressure on today.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask any hardball questions. Oh, no, I don't know about Bruce. Bruce may have something up his sleeve. But let's just launch into it. And let's talk about the upcoming presidential preference primary, because those dates are different from what we usually expect from our regular primary date, right? It's upon us.
That's correct. It's virtually here. And so, the date of the presidential primary is April 2nd. We did have to move it up due to a religious holiday. It was scheduled for April 26th originally. It's always the fourth Tuesday of April, but because of the religious holiday, it's been moved up to April 2nd, 2024, which is not far away. And so the next big deadline that folks need to make sure that they're aware of is March 3rd. And that is the deadline that voters need to be registered to vote and or disaffiliated from a political party if they want to vote in the other party's primary. So March 3rd is a really key date. It's a Sunday, and you have the ability to update your voter registration or register to vote either online or using a paper form, or if you visit the Division of Motor Vehicles to update your license, you can do it there as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So let's talk about the primaries. Do we have two primaries coming up?
We do. We've got the Democrat and Republican primaries, and both are going to occur on the same day. So registered Democrats are eligible to vote in the Democrat primary. Eligible Republican voters can vote in the Republican primary, and then unaffiliated voters can pick which party primary they want to vote in. They can only vote in one, but they can pick which party primary they want to vote in when they go to their polling place on election day. So that disaffiliation date that I mentioned of March 3rd, that's really important. If you are a registered Republican and want to vote in the Democrat primary, you've got to disaffiliate by March 3rd. And likewise, if you're a registered Democrat and want to vote in the Republican primary, then you've got to disaffiliate by March 3rd as well. So it's really important that you do that by the 3rd so that you're able to vote in the party primary that you wish to vote in.
Great. That's so important. And then let's just differentiate, because we have a whole nother set of primary elections coming up in September, do we not?
That's correct. And so all other offices on the ballot in November will have their primaries in September. So everything besides the president will have their primaries in September. So that's things like the U.S. Senate race that we have, the two congressional races, and then we've got the 38 state Senate and the 75 state House seats. And then depending on where you live, there'll be a plethora of local elections that'll take place in your city or town. And those primaries take place in September, September 10th. And then the big election coming up is going to be November 5th, where we're going to elect, you know, the president, the U.S. Senate, the congressional race, and all of the state and local races are going to be elected on November 5th.
It is a busy, busy year. So, you know, I'd love to turn the discussion to the question of same day registration, because we don't have that in Rhode Island, except for the presidential preference primary. Are you not allowed to cast a provisional ballot that day if you're not registered?
You're able to vote for president and vice president only in the November election.
Okay.
So a voter who is not registered to vote by the deadline for the November election. So the deadline to register to vote is going to be October 6th. I know it's a ways away, but certainly want to make sure people know that. So if voters miss the October 6th deadline, they can show up to their city or town hall in most cases. In some cases, like the city of Providence, they usually use the Dunkin' Donuts Center because city hall can't accommodate that many voters. But in most cases, for a voter that's not registered, they go to their city or town hall on election day and they register to vote. And they show their ID and they're able to cast a ballot for president and vice president only. So the only race on the ballot for those folks is going to be the president and vice presidential race in November. And generally speaking, between 5,000 and 7,000 people usually take advantage of that opportunity each election cycle.
Out of curiosity, I mean, have you ever done like an analysis of the voter data to figure out what the voter profile is of those folks who do that? Like, do they tend to skew younger, or do you know anything about those voters?
We don't, although the age of voters is something that can be easily looked at. I mean, obviously, the other demographics, things like ethnicity and gender, are not things that are captured on the voter registration form. So we don't have that data. I can tell you that anecdotally, you know, you have folks who may have moved, you know, within the 30 days of the election and weren't able to register, or people that forgot. And you're right, Catherine, a lot of younger voters as well, folks especially that are here for college and mm-hmm. college students are eligible to register and vote in Rhode Island, even if they're from another state. They can only vote, you know, in one state, obviously. But those folks are also folks that take advantage of the same day registration as well. But again, just a reminder that you have to register to vote, and you also have to show your ID when you're here in order to do the same day registration in November.
Right. And, you know, and we do know the ages of voters, because we've worked with you to get that data. And we know that in the first congressional district special election last year, 71% of the electorate was over 50. So that was pretty impressive for the folks that we serve at AARP.
Of course, it's great, and obviously we want to raise turnout for all ages. But it's great that folks are getting out and voting, and there's really no better way this year. We've got three big elections, and then there'll be no doubt special elections throughout the course of the year as well, depending on what city or town you live in.
So let's go through again what those key Rhode Island presidential preference primary dates are, from the voter registration deadline through primary day.
Sure. So March 3rd is the voter registration deadline or the disaffiliation deadline. That's 30 days before the election. And that's something that, you know, Catherine, we were just talking about with same day registration. That 30 day requirement is in the Constitution. It's also in state law. So that's why the deadline is 30 days before. It's the longest deadline in the country that you have to be registered before an election, which we're hopefully going to change. The next important deadline after that is March 12th. And that is the date or the deadline for voters who want to request a mail ballot. They've got to make sure their application is at city or town hall by 4 p.m. on March 12th. And you can apply for a mail ballot in two ways. You can fill out a paper form and you can either mail it or bring it into your city or town hall or have someone drop it off for you. Or you can apply online, which is a relatively new option for voters. We actually rolled that out last summer for the special congressional election, and we've used it in the election since then. But now voters can apply for a mail ballot online. You've got to provide your driver's license or your state ID number, and you can do it right from the comfort of your own home, and you'll submit that application via our website at vote.ri.gov. And if you're taking notes at home, well, I'll mention that a few more times throughout the call, but vote.ri.gov, and you can apply for a mail ballot. And then starting the next day, which is March 13th through April 1st, which is the day before the presidential primary, we have early voting. So in most cases, you would go to your city or town hall and you would vote just like you would on election day. You'll provide your ID. You'll sign the electronic poll book. You'll be given a ballot. You vote your ballot using the paper and pen method or our accessible voting device. You slide your ballot into the voting machine. You get your I voted sticker, most importantly, and you'll be well on your way. So starting on the 20th day before the primary, so that's on March 13th through 4 p.m. on April 1st, which is the day before the primary, you can vote early at your city or town hall with very few exceptions. I know that in Providence and Cranston, they tend to designate a location other than City Hall, and we'll have that information on our website once it becomes available.
Yeah, for the special election last year, what actually was City Hall, and I voted early for the first time. I usually like to vote on election day because I like the, you know, I just like the sort of celebratory feel of it. And I was amazed. It just, you know, the voting machines were the same, and there's a steady stream of people coming in, and it just was as exciting to vote early as it was to vote on primary day. So yeah. Three cheers to Providence for that. But I guess maybe because more people are going to vote this year, you think they'll probably pick a bigger site?
I think so. You're generally speaking, Providence uses the Dorley building, which is not far from City Hall, but that'll be cemented in the next few weeks for the primary. And then certainly before the September primary and the November general election, we'll make sure we make that information available. And Catherine, you're not alone. I mean, early voting since its inception, as it stands today, it was in 2020 for, you know, during the COVID pandemic. And a lot of people have taken advantage of voting that way. In 2020, about 150,000 people voted during the early voting period, which is really amazing. And we expect that number to be similar or even higher this year in the November election, because I think more people were voting by mail in 2020 due to the pandemic. And I think less people will vote by mail, but more people will vote early, which is really important. And it's great. You know, the General Assembly did that to make voting more accessible and easier for people and more convenient for people to be able to show up on one of 20 days before the election to cast your ballot.
Yeah, in my case, it was a godsend because I was planning to vote on primary day. And after the deadline for requesting a mail ballot, I found out I had to go out of town on business on primary day. So I would have been out of luck if the early voting option weren't available. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So as we think about all the methods of voting. You mentioned the online application for a mail ballot that was new last year. Is there anything else that's different this year from elections past that people should know about?
Yes. And so there are a few things that are different since the 2020 election. And fewer that are different from 2022, but we know that a lot more people will vote in a presidential year than a non-presidential year. So folks may see some differences when they go to the polls. So you mentioned the first one, and that's the online mail ballot application, which we're really proud of to make it easier for people to vote by mail. Also in 2020 due to COVID and since then, the witness and notary requirement for mail ballots has been removed. So prior to 2020, voters would need to have either two witnesses or a notary sign their mail ballot envelope before they submitted their ballot. And so that has been taken out of law. The General Assembly voted to remove that. So that requirement has been removed. So now the voter just needs to sign their name on the mail ballot envelope, and when it's returned to the Board of Elections, just their signature will be matched with the signature that we have on file for the voter in the voter registration system. So that's great. We also, we're now going to be going into our third election cycle with drop boxes. And even though we've done it for the last two elections, I think it's important to note that if you do vote by mail, instead of dropping it with your postal carrier, you can bring it right to city or town hall and drop it right into a drop box. We also have a drop box at our office, our elections division at 148 West River Street, which is very popular. And then also the Board of Elections, which is where the ballots ultimately end up. They have a drop box at their facility as well. So there's 41 drop boxes throughout the state. All 39 cities and towns have one. We've got one, and the Board of Elections have one. And with the exception of, I think, Central Falls and East Greenwich, those drop boxes are at city or town hall. And Central Falls and East Greenwich have it at a more accessible location. I believe at Central Falls, it's at the police station. And at East Greenwich, it's also at the, I think it's at the community center, or maybe at the police station as well. So there are plenty of options for voters to drop their ballots.
We only have about a minute or so left, so it might be a good idea to toss out some calls for action. How can we reach out to the Secretary of State's office? Everything will be fine, but just in case.
Yes, great. Thanks, Bruce. And so vote.ri.gov is the best way to get information. And that's the kind of one-stop shop for elections. You can register to vote. You can find your polling place. You can find a sample ballot. You can find your elected officials. You can track your mail ballot. You can see who's running. All of that's on our website at vote.ri.gov. You can also call us at 401-222-2340 or email us at elections with an S at the end. So elections@sos.ri.gov.
Excellent.
Great. And I'd just love to wrap up by thanking Rob always for joining us here. I'm sure we'll have many more conversations together as we work to make sure people know how, where, and when to vote. People can also visit us at aarp.org/rivotes for all the same information, except for the tracking your ballot and asking for mail ballot. But we get all of our information with close coordination with the Secretary of State's office. And just want to invite everybody who's interested in making their voices heard at the State House. Next Thursday, February 8th at 3 p.m., AARP Rhode Island will be hosting our annual State House Legislative Reception. You can register at aarp.org/RIEvents. And we would love to have folks come up to see us, hear our priorities, and talk to their legislators about what matters to them.
Excellent. And a great discussion as always. High-level information, and we really appreciate it. Thanks, Catherine, as always, for another great segment here on Elder Affairs.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Take good care. AARP.org/RI. It's the Elder Affairs Service here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540.